it's hard not to overreact to a game like that. It is just game one, and it's the first one in this city in like 2 years. Tell me why I shouldn't overreact to that offensive performance.
It's almost impossible that they would stay that bad, would be my, you know, like, it's just like Fred VanVleet and OG Anunoby are not going to shoot 8 of 37 combined. Like, that's just not going to happen. Chris Boucher looked absolutely lost, as you might expect somebody who, you know, missed the entire preseason and hadn't seen live action since last, I guess, June or whenever the regular season ended last year. So, you know, so I think that, you know, you can kind of go on down the list and that would be my main reason. Like, it would just be really hard to play that bad again. And that little clip that Nick was recorded on off the top there, I mean, you know, you can kind of do this with box scores, and you look at, well, they had a plus 12 in offensive rebounding is huge. They did turn them over more than they turned it over, which, and then they actually did somehow incredibly make more threes than the Wizards. I mean, they made 7 to the Wizards 5, which you can interpret different ways. But, you know, when those three things happen, and I think they took something like 15 or 20 more shots. So when you do all those things, it's really hard to lose, and let alone lose convincingly. So, you know, the way to do that is you shoot 30% from the field and, you know, and otherwise look like you don't know what you're doing. So I'm not saying, you know, to ignore it completely, because I think some of the flaws that you were exposed are real flaws, but I don't think they'll be exposed as effectively all the time.
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, and you don't want to overreact, and everything you said is true, Mike. But the question is, and you're right, Fred VanVleet's not going to shoot. He's going to have better nights than that. The shooters on this team are going to have better nights than that. But are there enough shooters? What is this team? What is it going to be offensively? Like, is it going to be able to do anything in the half court, Mike, or what are they going to look like?
I don't think it's going to be very good offensively, like in the sense of, and I think the Wizards saw these guys in the preseason. You know, it's not that complicated. And it was pretty evident early on is, you know, Washington is just kind of, they didn't really go hard at the offensive glass, and they peeled back and made sure that they had, you know, 3 or 4 bodies at least in the half court defensively. And, you know, you could kind of see it early, you know, Precious Achiuwa or Ken Birch or OG Anunoby, they kind of grab that rebound, and the idea is they're going to go and they're going to push the pace, and they're not going to wait and find a guard for an outlet. And then they kind of cross half court and they'd see 4 or 5 guys and they just sort of slow down. Mm. Right. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden you are in a half court situation. And I think this team will struggle in the half court. I think, again, I don't think OG Anunoby is going to be nearly as bad as he was last night. I'm very confident of that. And you are going to get Pascal Siakam back eventually, and that'll help a lot. But, you know, even even at that, like, they just don't have the kind of hammer that can break down defenses really consistently. And then when you don't have a ton of experience and familiarity to run the kind of motion that you need to be really crisp at to otherwise break down a defense, you're going to have some long nights.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not going to make it easy for, you know, like if Washington, you know, figured that out, that seems to be really reasonably simple.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's. I don't think it's really all that complicated. Is you know, what the Raptors want to do is pretty evident. They want to speed you up. They want to force the advantage. They want to take chances defensively and trust that, you know, people will they'll be able to cover up for whatever kind of chances they do take. And they want to, I mean, they forced 22 turnovers last night. That's a great number, but unfortunately they only scored 17 points, which is terrible. So that's what they want to do. And, you know, and I think if you're a good NBA team, the way you thwart that is you take care of the ball. So you're disciplined and strong on the ball on your own. And, you know, you just make sure you make a priority of getting back. Make sure if Precious Achiuwa or Ken Birch or somebody who's not really a really experienced open court ball handler does get the ball, like, you go and meet him at, you know, you meet him early, you make him give it up, or you make him turn, you make him you know, put pressure on them, see if he'll make a mistake. Chances are they will, And, you know, I think when teams are good at doing that, the Raptors are going to have a tough time. I think where the Raptors' advantage, you know, if you're going to be optimistic here, is they will improve. And they also, I think, if they're committed to the program, they're going to catch some teams on some bad nights. And there's going to be games where they do, you know, they do kind of dictate the tempo. And teams are going to come in here flat and they're just going to get embarrassed.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the other side of the coin we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, tough to expect the team not to be prepared for game one, or be tired for game one of the regular season. Talking to Michael Grange, so I went into this season with like a wide range of outcomes possible for this Raptors team. I've listened to a lot of people break down what they could be, and I think that's the prevailing sentiment about this team, that they could be maybe a playoff team, maybe finish as high as six or be on the outside of the playoffs. I viewed like being a bottom rung NBA team as an unlikely outcome. And I'm not saying that it's more likely after game one, although that was a pretty horrific performance. What do you think they're thinking in the front office? Do they have a more concrete view of what they're looking at here? And is it possible that they view this season very much as a rebuilding year?
I think they want to wait and see. And I don't think they're under any illusion, right? I don't think that they think that they've cracked the atom, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals again. I think, you know, and I have said, I think the real most valuable information I think you can gain from this year is, can a team that relies heavily on Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, is that enough, right? And I leave OG Anunoby out of it because, you know, if he just does what he's always done in his NBA career, he's a super valuable NBA player, right? And we'd all love him to advance and grow, and maybe that'll happen. I'm pretty confident it will happen. But, you know, absent that, like, he's fine, right? $18 million for what he provides very consistently is great. And literally every team, contending team in the league would love to have him. So it really comes down to the other two guys you're paying and are committed to, and can they lift the team? And, you know, if it kind of looks like maybe not, you know, that are certainly not beyond a certain level, then maybe the next question is, can Scotty Barnes, like how quickly can he become a guy who lifts the team? And if it's right away, well, that changes the math a little bit. If it's look like he's you know, he's a guy who's going to be a player, but is he going to be how good and how soon? You know, that could inform some other things too. And so I think that's realistically the only thing anyone can expect if you're the management of this team to learn. And if it turns out that Siakam or VanVleet or, you know, your Kem Birch is 29, I think, and you know, Chris Boucher's on a shorter deal, so it's not as much big a factor. You know, if their ceiling's a little lower than we'd all like to think, or the Raptors would like to think, then you adjust accordingly.
It puts Nick Nurse in an interesting spot, doesn't it? It's like a different position than he's been in any of his other Raptor seasons, right? Because there's obviously a kind of a development aspect to this season. You know, the work rate is going to have to be high. They're going to have to defend to be competitive in games. It's a different kind of, you know, we know what he looked like, you know, with a near championship team, with Kawhi added to it. And then, you know, had a really great year the year after that, before it was interrupted with, you know, with that team minus Kawhi. And then, you know, last year's kind of the dying embers, but this is a spot we haven't seen Nick Nurse in before as a Raptor coach.
Yeah, his NBA career is going in reverse.
Yeah, it's kind of true, isn't it? Yeah.
He's the Benjamin Button of NBA coaches.
Exactly. Well, you're supposed to have all these horrible experiences and then somehow break through. But I think it'll be interesting to see how Nick handles it. I mean, for sure, last year, and there was all kinds of mitigating factors, but he was not the jolliest Nick Nurse that we'd seen previously, right? Like it was definitely a fact that as that team went along and things were getting grimmer and less hopeful in Tampa, he was showing it. He was wearing it a bit, as you would expect. I mean, it's his job to wear it. And then he kind of had a bit of an epiphany after a certain point and said, look, we're not going anywhere. The organization's sort of happy we're not. And so let's just focus on trying to make the best out of what's not a great situation. And his demeanor changed quite a bit. And so, you know, I think this year he's talked about how hard he's worked his team in training camp. He knows he's got a lot of players that, you know, if they're going to get anywhere they want to go, and he's a coach, right? He's not thinking about what they're going to be like in 3 years. Like, he wants to be as good as they can now. He's going to have to coach them up. And so they've kind of, they've got shooting clinics going at night. They've got their, you know, no more off days. I mean, this was a team that was really, they invented load management, right? And for a year, 2 years, it was almost rare that they practiced. And it was all about conserving energy and making sure Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka and, you know, when he was here, Kawhi Leonard, were all ready to go on the odd night they did play, in Kawhi's case. But, you know, that's not in play anymore. These guys, you know, so his staff is grinding. You see them up before the game, you know, putting in extra work. They're having shoot-arounds on the road all the time, or I'm expecting them to do that. There's going to be a lot less off days, and it's going to be about how quickly can you turn Delano Benton into something? How quickly can Justin Champagne turn into something that we didn't expect? How can Scotty Barnes, you know, become a player in broadest sense possible as soon as possible? So that's on Nick Nurse. That's on his staff. And he seems to have embraced it. And, you know, we'll see if, you know, these guys start 0-3, which is plausible. They got Boston tomorrow night, then they come back for Dallas on the second night of a back-to-back, and they got an improved Chicago team as the third game in four nights on Monday. You know, we'll see what happens Tuesday morning. Yes, 0-4. We'll get a better sense then.
Before I let you go, thank you for bringing up Banton, who provided like the biggest positive yesterday. That was fun, and it was fun to see three Canadians on the court at the same time, and Kem Birch and Chris Boucher alongside him. Banton's a second round pick. Is he a guy? Because that was impressive, and I know he was written about a lot going into the season because of the roots, obviously, but, like, is he a potential factor this season?
I don't know yet. I mean, I would say I see what you see. Like, he looks like a guy that he certainly wasn't scared last night. He does have a pretty good feel for the game. Like, I think he's you know, we talk about all these big guys handling the ball and pushing it up the floor and all. He actually knows what he's doing. Like he I think he's really is something close to a point guard, and defensively plays with a ton of energy, and he's got the length and all of that. So I think he's got a chance to be an NBA player, I guess, is what I'm saying, which is for a 45th overall pick. You know, that's impressive. You know, he can't shoot, right? And you know, that's a
join the club. Alone.
There's a bunch of guys on that. There's a bunch of guys on that team that can't shoot. You know, so that's going to probably be, you know, like it has been for a lot of guys in this league over the years. It's, you know, it's like getting called up to majors, and, you know, can you hit a curveball, right? Like, at some point, you just got to either find a way to be good enough at that super important skill, or just be so overwhelming in all the other things you bring to the table that you can kind of get away with it. And it's a little too early to judge, but I would say that's about him. You know, he seems like a really bright kid. You know, like he definitely gets it. He's got a great demeanor. I think he really appreciates the opportunity he has. And, you know, it's he's going to be a very easy guy to cheer for all the right reasons. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's a first, you know, 3 points in his NBA career that I'm sure he won't forget either. A half-court heave. I don't know how many NBA players